I can see why people would gravitate towards this. It's not like you just buy it and you move on.
You're going to have some people that are, I mean, made millions and millions of dollars in crypto, and they're moving a lot of it over to the NFT world, and they know about this stuff, and they're happy to help you with everything. It's yeah. a really, really different vibe. And it's really funny when you say, some of my best friends are my internet friends now that I've literally never met in person.
Yeah, I think right. I talk to Eric more than I talk to my wife now, I think.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. So very special episode. This is going to be part two of our conversation with Eric and Ben about NFTs and the NFT space and where we think it's going to go. Enjoy.
I'm sorry, what was the question that you asked Ben, Eric?
He was going to get into the metaverse.
And yeah, the metaverse and just a little bit more on utility. So, I mean, a great example, I'll just stick with Bored Apes for a second. Just a little while ago, airdrops are a big thing, right? An airdrop is basically where, because it's on the blockchain, because you have this wallet set up, the project leaders in any of these things, they can verify that you do indeed have one of their NFTs in your wallet, right? They can do it algorithmically. And so what they did was a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, they said, it's interesting. I commented on Twitter that one tweet with four words can move the entire market of the NFT space, which is what the Bored Apes leaders tweeted on a Wednesday or a Thursday a few weeks ago. And I don't know if I can swear on this show, so I'll just censor myself, but they said,
you can.
Okay. I can't guess it. So they'd been talking about these mutant apes. They were going to be like these grotesque, just kind of really neat looking thing. I think it's probably timed a little bit for Halloween. And they tweeted one day, they said, fuck it, Mutants Saturday. And it was like Twitter exploded, because what that meant was they airdropped these, what they call serums, into every ape holder's wallet, one for each ape they owned. And you could get either a version one serum or a version two serum. On the day those dropped, you could use that serum, quote unquote, feed it to your ape. And that would produce a new NFT known as a mutant ape. And on that day, the day they got them, even if you just got the version one, which is not as good, technically speaking, which we can get into why or why not, it wouldn't be as good. You could have sold it that way day for what, 5 or 6 ETH? Mm-hmm.
Easy. Yeah.
Five to six Ethereum on day one. So because you had that in your wallet, they basically just gave you 20 grand. You know, yep. 15 to 20 grand.
That's awesome. I know, Eric, you were saying, like, so you do have your regular ape and then you have your mutant ape. So you have both of them.
Yeah. It basically just allowed you to take your ape. If you decided your ape would drink the serum, it would create a brand new NFT. So you would keep your original ape, and now you have a mutant ape. And if you would have told me 2 years ago, I'm going to be on a podcast talking about monkeys and and mutants.
Drinking serums.
Oh my goodness.
So
my mind's still blown.
That's one thing, right? Minute. Is these airdrops where they basically say, hey, because you already have one of our NFTs, we're going to give you another one too. And then you can sell that one. So you can keep your original one. And the one the airdrop, you know, that you then sell typically is going to be, so you'd have your ape, which is worth like 40 or 50 on that day. And right. then they airdrop you that thing is only worth five, but five is a lot.
And I thought it was pretty interesting. They're like, okay, what if I saw somebody's Twitter feed. They're like, what if I didn't feed my ape the serum? And I can sell my serum and my ape.
Sell the serum. Yeah.
And that person now hasn't even, like, it's an unwrapped present, right?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, because of all the, you know, rarity stuff, like, you could sell the serum, and you might even be able to sell the serum for more than you would sell the mutant for, because somebody feeding that serum to their ape might produce a better mutant than it would have if you'd fed it to your ape, because their ape's already better or whatever. So might be willing to, they're intentionally trying to make you think through all the different potential outcomes, and you know, yeah. it's a
there's
game.
There's a lot of game theory. A lot of game theory involved in this stuff. And just to let you know, so the apes dropped a dog a couple months ago, the Bored Ape Kennel Club, and now they have the mutants. Now, I can guarantee you that I could go sell those things right now and make a good chunk, but holding on to all three, there is going to be a benefit to that coming very soon. So it's a lot of game theory of, well, do I take the money now or do I hold it and then maybe get the next cooler thing that's coming up?
Right. And you couldn't get the dog because you have to have the ape first, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, it's I like actually this sequence society.
When I, Yeah, when I bought my ape, I didn't have a dog, but I knew there would be utility to having it. So I went on the open market and bought a dog as well.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, I don't think we have any more listeners.
I know. I was just thinking it's starting to get crazy, right? So I can provide a little bit more of a real world example here for us too, on utility.
Yeah. Just to interrupt you for one second.
Okay.
This is another thing that, you know, I know we're talking about mutants and serums and stuff right now, but
and that's just one NFT community. Like there's so many more that do some.
Well, what we're trying to figure out now is, you know, why do things have value?
Yeah. So there's real world stuff to it too, for sure.
Yeah. So that is, you know, even though it's kind of goofy and we're all laughing about it, it's, that's a real world benefit, right? If you are part of the club, you get stuff down the road. Mm-hmm. That is an important part, which is what I want to get to, is picking out a project, like which one are you going to invest in? Because that part, I think, is the most daunting, especially when you're first getting into it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Ben, why don't you get into a little bit more? You said you had an example of the utility, because I think it's a huge part of understanding this. And then if you would get into the Deadheads a little bit, because you left off on that story, you know, and it kind of changed my life. So plus I own a Deadhead. Nice. So I want to, you know, get it pumped up as much as possible.
I own one too. So
nice. Oh,
you got one?
I got one.
Oh, you bought one.
Love it. Yeah. That's my t-shirt, by the way.
I'm going to need one of those.
You got to find out how many Ben owns at the end of the story.
Yeah, I'll tell you at the end. Yeah. So I was actually going to, the example I was going to use that's a little bit more real world was going to be on Deadheads, actually. So let's say you go on your phone, you go in the App Store and you're looking for games and you see like a Family Guy game, right? Now that Family Guy, if you go look into the fine print and see like who made this game, I can almost guarantee you that it wasn't Fox that made that game. It was some game studio who licensed the IP from Fox, or I guess Disney now or whatever. I don't know. Disney bought Fox, that part of Fox, I think, or whatever, right? Anyways, game developers out there trying to make good games that people are going to want to download and pay for or whatever, they can either invent their own brand new thing or they can license the IP from an existing person, right? Well, if somebody wanted to make a Deadheads game, they could license it from me or Eric or you guys. And now they may not know they can do that, so it's up to us to kind of go solicit these things. But I could go to, I'll just tell you now, I have 108 Deadheads. I have enough to create an entire universe of characters. And now it costs a lot of money to get that many, but you could make a pretty cool game with five, you know? And so if you have the skills to develop a game, or if you know someone who does, or even if you want to contract it out, or someone wants to license it from you, and then all you're doing is just getting royalties, that's not in this realm of like, oh, you're getting airdrops of new NFTs. You're getting dollars, you know, like from a game that, and the other part that happens is, let's say I did that. Let's say I had a mobile game, a mobile Deadheads game made by some game developer in Ukraine or something, somewhere where it would be cheaper to hire developers and stuff. Now I've got this game. If I went to the Deadheads community and said, guys, I made a game, you have an instant audience.
Yeah.
And they all want it to succeed, because the more any tangential project related to this intellectual property succeeds, it raises all boats. Right. So you've got thousands of people from day one who want whatever is coming out of this project. They want it to be successful. They're going to tell their friends. They're going to tweet about it, all that stuff. And not to mention physical stuff. So I had 100 of these little pins, you know, like a little pin you can put on your, I can't believe I didn't bring one with me, but of one of my Deadheads. I just had that done online. You know, I think I paid $1.10 or something for each one. And where do I go from here? I don't know, but like I could go to, you know, what's that store? Urban Outfitters or what's the one with like all the gothic kind of hot topic. And just hot say, topics. Hey, would you put these in a bowl at the checkout counter? Sell them for $5, you know, we'll split. So that's not big money, right? But that's like just dipping a toe in the water of, I own this IP because I bought the NFT.
How many Deadheads were created?
10,000
originally.
Yeah.
10,000. So, 10,000. But, I mean, it's like only 10,000 people can own those. Right.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, if they take off like the CryptoPunks and the apes, like that community is only this big.
Right. And on top of that, there's some NFT collections who are like, you own the intellectual property, you can do whatever you want with it. And that's cool. A lot of people won't do anything with it because they're busy or they don't know what to do or whatever. Then there's other collections where they say, hey, you don't own the IP, but don't worry, because we do, and we're still going to make this really big, and you even having a collectible from it, even though you can't create the derivative works legally, it still benefits you because we're going to do cool stuff with the IP. We, the creators. But Deadheads is both. So they actually are, they've developed an animated series. Episode 2 is coming out on Friday. They have plans to make major motion pictures. They're already talking to people about making those kind of things happen. There's a comic book coming out on Friday alongside episode 2 as well. So the team who created it is working their butts off creating awesome content with these characters and telling all of us, you can go do that too, right? I mean, I bet you, to go back to the Family Guy example, there are many Family Guy mobile games and they're not developed by the same studio.
Right.
Each of them had different licensing agreements, but all with Fox, right? You could have multiple different types of games that have licensing agreements for Deadheads games, but those agreements are with different individual people.
Right. I mean, if they make a cartoon and it takes off and, you know, it becomes like the next, like Paw Patrol or something. Like, I mean, the floor, like you said, you know, if the floor rise, like the floor to buy in could go up thousands of dollars if it becomes a popular thing, because that little kid's going to want to own a Deadhead.
Right. And yeah, Deadheads. Yeah. I mean, this target more like teenage and up crowd, I would say. So it's more, I would make like a Rick and Morty comparison, maybe something like that. It's like teenagers and then childish adults like me and Eric, you know,
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. So absolutely. I mean, all it would take is one announcement like, hey guys, we got picked up by Netflix. It's going to be on Netflix now. And the prices would just absolutely explode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's no way of ensuring that's going to happen, but I can tell you firsthand, the team is working their asses off to try to make sure it does.
That's awesome.
You know?
Why would like Visa go out and buy an NFT?
Yeah.
Why did they do that? I'm curious.
I have an opinion on that. I don't know if you want to go first, Eric.
Yeah, I'll just give you my opinion. It's a weird thing in this world, in this NFT world, but if you have a CryptoPunk or if you have a Bored Ape or a few other top end projects,
the rock with the laser eyes.
yeah, some of those are just ridiculous. And they get popular for different reasons. But
right.
If you just had Visa spend $180,000 and they just legitimized themselves in the eyes of everybody in the crypto world and everybody in the NFT space. And I mean, like, Visa really needed to legitimize themselves, but it basically just said, we are open for business and willing to work with you guys. A couple months ago, it was Amazon that basically just posted a job that they needed someone to start working on crypto and accepting Bitcoin. And I think Bitcoin shot up 20% that day, just as more of these established companies are getting into the NFT space in the NFT world.
Yeah. And I'd say, I agree with everything Eric just said, and I would add a couple things. If you think about what Visa really is, people think Visa, they think finance, right? But Visa is actually a tech company. That's really what they're about. They are maybe the only network that's never been hacked. So Visa is elite status when it comes to data security, and they will have a crypto wallet. I'm pretty sure they will release one. I bet a MetaMask competitor kind of thing. And if banks, a lot of people who are like crazy crypto enthusiasts are like, banks are dead. Banks are going to die. There's no way they can, like, I don't know how they survive this. You know, I don't know how I feel about that, but there are people who say that, but nevertheless, whether they do or not, this is an industry that's going somewhere, and Visa's like, we're in. We will have a business unit. At the very least, we will be processing not just dollars and other currencies, but cryptocurrencies too. And so that's them saying we're in, right? I also think it's marketing, because for everybody, or like when Arizona Iced Tea bought a Bored Ape, same thing. For anybody who's in NFTs, they're like, oh snap, here we go. Another big company is, you know, that legitimizes what we're doing. It makes us feel a little less crazy for what we're doing.
I mean, like I said, I saw the Chainsmokers bought an ape. I saw Steph Curry bought an ape. Like, I mean, there's some getting. Yeah.
So it's one thing when a celebrity does, right? And when a company does, I think they're really doing, because Steph Curry doesn't need marketing, right? He doesn't need to be, you know, he's not Coke, where if he stops advertising, people will stop loving him. But it's marketing in that the people who are already in this space celebrate it or criticize it. Either way, any press is good press, right? But the other thing it does for people who don't know the space yet is it just makes them go, huh? What are they doing? You know, it catches attention in a new way, makes them stand out. It's that pattern interruption that marketing needs to do to make somebody stand out. So I think they're doing it for those reasons too.
And, okay. and a good example of this is, guys, I mean, D, Tony, how many months have I just been texting you guys about NFTs and projects? And all of a sudden, when Visa does it, or the chain smokers, that there's one thing in everyone's mind that goes, oh, well, maybe I should look a little more into it now.
it was kind of a domino effect of a lot of things, but mm-hmm. you kind of started it. And I mean, I've heard of it. I'm like, I didn't understand it. Like, but you know, but like you really got into it, Eric. And, you know, it made me pay attention when, yeah, it's when some of the other bigger things started happening. And it had me rewind a lot of the things that you said before, mm-hmm. right? So,
exactly, yeah.
I'm curious though. Like I mentioned before, I'm like, all right, you have these NFTs, this booklet and library of NFTs. Like, you know, you got hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, based on your collection. And like, how do you monetize it? Because you don't want to like get rid of them sometimes. Like, because maybe you only have one, and if you sold your ape, you're out of the club, right? Yeah. So, I mean, has anyone in the community ever thought of like creating an entity where you can sell like 10% into?
There is fractional stuff.
Is there
already? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I've got money into a couple of apes that are fractional, that are just high end, and I put, you know, a few bucks here and there, and that's going to be the way a lot of people are going to be able to get in on these blue chip high end projects.
How do you know you own it? Is it like a legal document? Like
No, it's a website where you connect your crypto wallet and everything. There's one that's like fractional.art.
Oh.
And you just, like anything else, you use your MetaMask, you log in using MetaMask, and it's like, here's this ape punk, which is a crypto punk, but it looks like a monkey, you know. This right. From before Bored Apes. It's not, they're not like trying to merge the two, it just happens to be an ape, but it's a crypto punk. Yep. I mean, it would probably be 300 Ethereum or something in the open market. But I have one Ethereum worth of that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Or okay. I haven't checked what it's worth right now, but that's how much I bought in for. So like what is that? 1/3% of ownership of it. They use an exchange on there where it technically exchanges your Ethereum for a different token, which then verifies your ownership of that piece of that one. But that all happens behind the scenes. All you need to know is if you connect your wallet, you can look at that website anytime and see what the current value is worth.
So Derek, you know, you and I kind of are still, I don't want to call us skeptics, but like, we're still like trying to understand. So mm-hmm. one of it was, you know, we've always heard that these are safe, right? And you know, I know Eric, you mentioned about somebody got their ape stolen. I'm like, how did that happen? I thought this stuff safe. Like, I thought it's blockchain. Like, how do they not hunt that guy down and get the ape back? Like, I'm trying to understand that part, but I also want to understand, like, where do you think the future is going? So like, I kind of understand it now through like the deadhead. So like, you created the NFT, but now it could, if it's got enough popularity, it could be turning into clothing. It could turn into cartoons. It already is a cartoon.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah, but like mainstream, like you said, like, hey, yeah. Netflix picks yeah. it up, and now it's like,
right.
Your NFT just went up 20-fold overnight because mm-hmm. of something like that. Probably. I don't know, but, let's talk about the safety component.
I'll jump in on this really quick. And I'll let Ben, you know, jump in a little more on that too. But this right now, the NFT space is the wild, wild west. And what I mean by that is the main concept of this space is that decentralization, and it's kind of interrupt the system. When you have something like that, you don't necessarily have a lot of guidelines or rules put in place. Now, for guys like us that we're pretty good with computers, but we couldn't go build websites or anything. The thing about it is those guys are in this space. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those, not a lot, but there are some scammers out there, and that's where you could possibly be hacked with somebody saying that they're from a customer service support system for MetaMask, and hey, I need to go check this and fix this. And every mm-hmm. once in a while, you'll get someone that clicks on a link they shouldn't, and they automatically will give all their information over to a hacker that can go empty out their entire wallet.
Yeah, that's the thing with MetaMask. It is way more secure than any other network, but the security is entirely in your hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's no, like, on some things you lose your password or something, you know, you just kind of like reset the password and type in something, what city you grew up in or something on your email.
Didn't they want some kind of like 10 word phrase that's unique for like everybody and stuff? Like, make sure you don't lose that or you're kind of cooked, right?
Yeah. So that's a good point. So there's no password support. So if you forget your password, there's an elaborate key system. You need to put the right 12 words in the right order, or you cannot get back in.
There is no 800 back number. Nobody to call. Who can help you. Nope, it's over. And if it's someone else gets
over,
if someone else gets those 12 words, all your stuff now belongs to them.
Yep. Yeah. So if you took a picture of your 12 word phrase and your phone is stolen, and someone knows what they're looking for, they can
store
it
in your Google Drive or something like that, and they get into your Google Drive, that's over. So mine is, I don't store it digitally anywhere. It's not in my phone. Nothing. Some people will write it on a, they actually, companies that sell these little titanium tubes that are fireproof. You literally just write it on a piece of paper, roll it up, put it in the tube, put it in the safety deposit box, you know, or a safe or whatever.
That's
or,
crazy. So like, hey, everything's going digital except your MetaMask password. Like,
I know. Isn't that funny?
it's ironic on how like weird that is. Like, that's crazy. Like, there's no helpline. You're done. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So
let's follow up on that question real quick. So basically a phishing scam, right?
Yeah.
But can't I see where that ape is now located? That was our question.
You can, but that's actually good.
That's part of the painful part, because you can actually see whatever was hacked and taken from you still on the blockchain, and you can't do anything about it except just watch it get sold by someone else for really cheap and then just cry yourself to sleep. So the security is a big thing. I tell everyone that's new, I think I told both of you guys, never click on anything. Always ask me before there's anything that you need to look at, because it's weird to say, I've only been in this world since, you know, about February till May for Top Shot, and May on in the NFT world, but I'm a veteran, and always reach out. Don't ever do something if you think there's a question. Always ask somebody in the community, because they will 100% help.
Yep.
So maybe, guys, because we're going long on this, so I'd like to do it again. Honestly, I'm enjoying this conversation. But to wrap up this part of the show, why don't you guys get into a little bit of the projects that you're involved in right now, and kind of go through those. And then we'll try to wrap it up with kind of a summary, if you will, and figure out what we've learned in this conversation.
Cool.
I'll go first, and just to tell you, Ben and I could talk NFTs for hours upon hours. So whenever you guys want to do this, just line it up and we'll be here. So I'm actually starting, as we all have played in leagues together for many years, D and Tones. I'm big into fantasy football, and I decided, let's see if we can do something with the apes and combining fantasy football with 12 apes and what we could do with that. Well, little by little, started going through the project, and we said, we could actually make this an NFT and allow people to buy in to each one of the fantasy teams. So without going into a lot of detail, everything, we basically put this project together. We are minting right now. And you have the ability to go to our website, BAFL.io, and you can head over there, mint shares, join our Discord and community. And, we're going to have weekly prizes going out. Once we sell out the entire project, we're going to be able to give out NFTs in value of 10 E every week. And then for the grand prize of the year, over 30 E in NFTs once we sell the project out.
Yeah. I thought it was a really cool idea, because so somebody like me who's just brand new, like, I can buy some of these tickets on these teams. It's kind of like a lottery ticket, right? But like, if my team wins or scores high points that week or whatever, like, you guys are going to, you know, drop me a few NFTs that I don't have right now, right? You know, it's like a way to win NFTs, right? So
yeah, it's as soon as whatever qualifies for the winning prize that week, you're going to be eligible for that. And basically your share automatically puts you in the drawing for NFT prizes that week.
Awesome.
Yep.
And Ben, what about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you heard me talk about Deadheads, you know, that's my number one, but everything else I'm in also typically has some kind of a media play. Anything I'm in big anyways, a media play or some sort of metaverse, which I know we didn't get to talk about the metaverse, but it's basically, think of it as VR, virtual reality. It's like an you know, online environment where people hang out and play games and socialize and stuff like that. Sometimes in VR, so they wear an Oculus headset or whatever. Other times it's just on your computer. But anyway, so the stuff I'm in typically has something to do with either media. So there's Deadheads. There's another one called the Janky Heist, which is, this is an interesting one because it comes from a company that is already pretty big and has a big following. They have these characters. It's actually what this guy is right here. They do these collectibles, these physical collectibles. This is Googimon. He and his kind of buddy is named Janky. The two of them have like 6 million Instagram followers between the two of them. And they have since before they were NFTs. So this is like a brand that already exists, but they launched an NFT line. And the whole purpose of that NFTs was they would sell them out. It was a fundraiser. So they raised a bunch of money by selling those. And they're creating a like a comedy horror film, you know, feature film, again, from a brand that's big. Both of these characters are in Fortnite. You know, they're playable characters in Fortnite. Like, they're already basically digital celebrities. Googimon does ad campaigns for Gucci. Like, they're already big, but they just went, okay, we're going to get NFTs so that we can, number one, make this movie, get the funding together to make a movie, which, like, the guy making the music for the movie has like 40 million Instagram followers. They have their own cryptocurrency being developed, the Janky coin, and they're making their own metaverse environment called the Jankyverse, right? So it's this whole big thing where, you know, established brand, all these big plans they have. So I'm in that one. There's another one called the Bored Ape comic, which is inspired by Bored Apes, but they've basically created a digital comic book, and they're going to keep growing that and making new cool IP in that environment. And then there's one that's currently less exciting. It's much more of a long-term one. It's called Rooms, R-U-U-M-Z. And what they're doing is basically creating 3D like habitable environments for the metaverse, where when you have your little avatar character walking around the metaverse, you can be like, hey, come back. You know, we're going to throw a party in my room. There's a card table. We're playing cards, whatever. You buy these little rooms, literally buy the rooms. And then once they have it set up in the metaverse by, like, I think Q1 next year, you can do what's called staking those rooms, which is a way of saying, I'm locking up this NFT. I'm okay with not being able to sell it for a period of time. And in exchange, they pay you their cryptocurrency called rent. It's a rent token. And you can use that to customize more spaces. And so it's really about this like social habitable environment in the metaverse with that one, but it's a little more advanced.
I saw something on like CNBC where the one guy, he was like, you know, like he was talking about these things that I'm having a hard time rationalizing. And he goes, there's going to be a point where like, you might not be able to go into certain restaurants because they want to see like that you're an owner of like this, these types of NFTs, because that's who we cater to.
Or at the very least, it's like, you know, free beers for all ape owners at such and such place, you know?
Yeah.
So you can maybe come in, but there's going to be, I think there's going to be a huge like customer loyalty perks programs from companies. Yeah. That basically says scan your wallet on the way in. And if you own an ape, you know, then you get this. And if you're like, especially around Halloween, if you have a Deadhead, you know, you get this Halloween inspired beer for free or whatever. Like they could,
yeah,
lots of places could start doing that. And yep. So.
All right. So D, let's wrap it up. Let's kind of our takeaways as somebody like talking to what I would refer to as experts. Like they're just, know vastly more than I do.
Yep, for sure.
So I kind of look at it like, you know, these NFTs are basically like lottery tickets. You know, we use the Deadhead example. Like if they become very mainstream, like by buying this for, you know, 0.1 E today could be worth 10 E in a year because they got picked up by Netflix, things like that. I love the community. I love that on Discord and on Twitter. And if you have questions and getting free perks, you know, for being part of a community, I think that's really, really cool. And there's a supply and demand component. You know, there's only 10,000 Deadheads. There's only 999 apes. Like those, that's your community, right? And I think that's really unique. My only big thing is two things is, I like what you buy because, you know, and any investment that is highly spectacle that can go to zero tomorrow, buy what you like, buy what you think looks cool, because if it's worth zero tomorrow, at least I know I can go get one of those NFT picture frames and hang it on the wall and say, I at least like looking at that, right? You know, that's the way I look at it. And go write down your MetaMask words and don't save it electronically because you never know.
Yeah. But
those are my kind of takeaways.
So, yeah. So, you know, my takeaways, and also really kind of preparing for the show over the last month in my mind, you know, I think Eric said it well, it is the Wild West right now. All right. So if you're looking to, you know, buy something quickly and then sell it for, you know, 100X, I think you've missed that train, as far as, you know, like, you're not going to, I don't think you're going to go buy an ape right now and it's going to 100X from, you know, where it's at right now at $150,000 or whatever it is. So to really find a project that you like, it's kind of like researching a stock. You have to figure it out, right? There's nothing that you can't just hop on OpenSea and buy 10 random things and think you're going to be successful, because you won't. There's also a lot of crap out there. it's intimidating when you see it for the first time. Maybe the next show, if we can do another one, we can get into the problems. You know, there are some problems and questions that I still have, but there is a lot of upside. You know, you're not just buying a picture of a monkey or anything like that. So if you want to be successful, you have to join those Discord chat groups, right?
I think there's some that you can just buy that just as an investment and just hold it and expect it's going to grow. But to me, maybe the most important ones to really make sure you do spend some time in the Discord is like those mid-tier ones. Like the pricing is kind of in the middle. If you start looking around at OpenSea and go, these ones are really cheap. In fact, they're so low, that's probably not a good sign. Or those are ones that are really expensive, like an ape, where if you can put the money together, cool, you could probably just get one and ride the waves, you know? Mm-hmm. But those middle ones, I would consider Deadheads to be one of the middle ones. Currently underpriced, in my opinion. It is good when you see one that's priced like that, where it's high enough that, like, okay, it's not a dying project, but it hasn't skyrocketed yet. Let me go see what's up. Right. Then you jump in the Discord, you start asking questions. That's the most important time.
Yeah. Great points there. And also, when you're getting into this, you got to take it slow, right? You're not just going to be able to block out 45 minutes of your day and, you know, buy 15 NFTs. So we have Tony's blog. Beyond that, you can just type in, you know, any keyword into YouTube. You can get an explanation. You know, I watch some of those. You really need to kind of learn about it before you just dive in.
And just to add to that, D, a lot of people in this space, and I saw this tweeted the other day, we're playing with house money. You know, we got in at the right time with some of these projects really exploded. And if I take a chance on something, it's not going to hurt me as much, because, again, it's house money. It's what I've already, quote unquote, won from the casino. So, again, when you're getting in, be very careful. And I've been very cautious with you guys when trying to advise you what to get into. And it's kind of what you've repeated back today. So you're going to see some big wigs out there. Don't feel like you're not a big wig if you don't have 50 of something that just minted. Take your time. Ask questions.
Yep. And you know what, anyone that, like, you know, listen to this podcast and they have questions, because I think another one would be good, because there's the skeptics, you know, of like, hey, why does that do this? Why does that do that? Why should I do that? You know, and like, I'd love to have that kind of show with you, like to kind of blow up the things that people have in the back of their mind, you know, holding them back from buying NFTs, right?
Just tell us when, buddy, we'll line it up.
I hear you, man. I hear you. So
yeah, you know, that's, maybe we'll leave it there. I think probably one of the biggest issues it's also one of the biggest benefits, right? So like if we go on TV, or Marco's on TV and talks about Apple stock, right? And he owns $1 million worth of Apple stock, and he goes on TV and is like, Apple's the best, Apple's the best. Mm-hmm. And it's really not, you know, that's extremely illegal. Right? There's lots of rules around that. You know, the name of the show is The Capitalist Investor. You know, we're kind of anti regulations, but some regulations are also good. You know, so you know, that's part of the thing that can get you in trouble as well. So I think, yeah, some kind of the Q&As on some of the problems, and there are lots. But at the same time, we're right at the beginning of this thing here, you know, and so they're not all going to be winners, but, you know, if you're participating in the space and you're doing it wisely, you know, that's kind of what we preach on the show. have a plan and execute that plan. And I think another, my last point will be the daily price movement, just like a stock, you know, you don't have to worry about it as much. It's not even a real price, honestly. You know, we mentioned the floor price. That's not necessarily the price of your individual NFT. All right. So if it drops by 20% in the first week that you own it, that's just going to be par for the course, man. You can't, you know, jump ship. Again, you got to have a plan. How much am I going to spend? How long am I going to be in this? And, you know, when do I hit the eject button? Right. So, you know, kind of have that in mind when you're diving into these things.
Yep.
Yep.
Any other words of wisdom you guys want to drop in before we sign off?
I think that last thing you just said is a really key one. You know, one share of Apple is worth one share of Apple, but one Deadhead, one Bored Ape, one whatever is not necessarily, in fact, it's almost definitely not worth the same as all the other ones. And so that's just another layer to it, right? Nobody ever had an emotional impact on selling Apple stock before, but to let go of an NFT you actually really like and have grown to be friends with people in the community and stuff is different. So
for sure, for sure. All right. Well, I want to thank you both guys for being on. I thought that was a really good conversation and hopefully I don't think we got too far off track at any time. So
yeah, so that was pretty good. I know my mind's going a million different places, so I hope I didn't disrail anything, but I thought we got good stuff out there. I'm actually looking forward to like sometime down the road, talk about what, you know, the naysayers, like, let's see if we can get some questions about, you know, why this could blow up. And I'd like to know where it's going. Like you said, like the virtual reality stuff, like, it doesn't exist today, but doesn't mean it can't tomorrow, you know? And so,
yeah. So thank you everyone for joining us, for this special two-part episode. As always, drop a like on our subscription page. Leave a 5-star review. We'll send you some swag. Maybe we'll even put my Deadhead on one of these SWP shirts.
What about actually,
I'm going to have at least 4 more after this conversation.
I know. That's the one thing I'm going to, you know, I like listening about that. I'm probably going to go look at some more Deadheads. And I know, Eric, we're talking about like the internal royals and stuff. Like I think they look cool. I want to buy one just because I think they look cool.
Yeah,
that's that
part
simple.
Of it. Yeah.
But exactly. I'm also learning about the artist who's making it, and he makes some, you know, great art outside of what his project's going to be. So, I mean, that's just, again, doing the research, kind of being in the community, reading, listening to people, sifting out what everyone's saying and find what you really like.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I got a feeling the SWP NFT will be coming out pretty soon. So you guys
go.
Let us know when you need some help with that. We'll help consult for you.
Sounds right, good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us and have a great day.
See you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, if you can drop a subscribe on us, I would appreciate that. And if you leave us a 5-star review, send us a quick note to info@swpconnect.com. And we'll send you some swag. I think we got some new swag on the way for the fall. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.